Blog Talk Radio.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know how smart I am. They don't even see my tears. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me.
Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 253 shows and counting. And we're going to keep moving along because we're not going to stop. These animals in distress and discomfort, we're out to help them and save them and set them free. Everybody, I wanted to go over a couple things before we get started here. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. And I hope all you new listeners enjoy this show and keep coming back, spreading the word. You know, tell your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. I mean, trying to get these children to start out young, you know, show the animals, dignity and respect and how to treat them. Because that's so important, because the animals are voiceless and helpless, defenseless and innocent. So we have to be the voice, everyone. Voices do carry for animals. We need yours, please. And we'll have another great show tonight. And I hope you can feel free to call in, and I'll give you the number. Area code 310-982-4270. And that phone number is the same every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern. And press 1 to speak. If you're in the queue, please press the 1 so I can know that you want to come and speak. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations. And you're more than welcome to come on board live. So I hope you enjoy the show. And remember, Paul in hand, united we stand against all cruelty and neglect across the land, everyone. United we stand up for the animals in need. Please do something. And, you know, every effort counts. You know, contact your legislators and get to know them. You can email them, call them, you know, write letters. I mean, there's so many ways to connect with them. Because if we don't connect with them, there was no changes going to be made, okay? We'll just be spinning our wheels. We can put as many comments or, view the TV and listen to the radio of everything that bad happening out there. But if we don't take action, we are spinning our wheels, and that's not fair to the animals. So please, everyone, do something, and do something right. You'll feel good about it. I know I take my time and not only on this radio platform, but I do all, on social media too. Admin on several groups and pages on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest. I mean, they're just involved, and I've gotten so fast that it makes my head spin. So everybody, do your part, because the more voices and action takers out there, the faster the changes will become, in effect, because every day, every hour, every minute of the day, if the animal's suffering in pain or neglect or tortured, that's terrible. Okay. So, let's all come together as one and take that action. area code 202-224-3121. This number I'm giving you is nationwide. So you can give them your zip code and ask to speak to your representative or your senator, and they'll connect you up. After hours, you can leave a voicemail on weekends. So look up your state rep, go to a search engine and just my state rep, and it'll lead you to there. Put your zip code in and everything will be fine. So please do your part. There's millions and millions of us out there. So do your part, everyone. And this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. Thank you, Marty Oakley, for continuing and ongoing support on this show, because she was a star of Voices Care for Animals, and I was her host on TS Radio Network. And that was from June 14 up to March of 2018. So 163 shows there. And I have my own Animal Advocates Radio from 164 on up to 253 so far. So I'm going to go ahead and bring on the guests this evening. You can listen to this show worldwide, unlimited listeners. So please spread the word, because this is modern technology here. You can listen by phone or by internet. You want to call in, please do so. I will be taking calls towards the end of the show, probably the last half hour. So if you want to speak out for the animals, hey, the more voices out there, everyone, the better. And keep pressing that share button, because that's what we need. I'm going to be bringing on first Dave Hine. He is the creator of Alley's Law here in Florida. Okay, so I had Senator Jason Pizzo on a couple weeks ago on Senate Bill 1044, Animal Cruelty, under Alley's Law. And also who joined him was Representative Dan Daley. And it was an awesome show, everyone. It was very informative. I believe it was Voices Care for Animals, number 251. So I want to bring him on. And he is going to be telling us about what the update is on this law, HB 621, Representative Dan Daley. And we will go from there. But I want to welcome him on board. Dave Hine, how are you this evening? Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. You're live and on the air. Go right ahead. And I'll be back.
Thanks,
Dr.
Debbie. We're doing well tonight.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
We're doing great, and thanks for having us on the show tonight.
Hey, you're so truly welcome. It's an honor and a pleasure, believe me, because all the hard work you're doing and trying to get it out there, Alley's Law here in Florida, which is doing right for the animals. But you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and about Alley and how you got started.
So right ahead. Alley is doing all the work. I'm just her little chauffeur and her driver and her voice for her. But it's Alley that has traversed up to Tallahassee multiple times and has made friends with all the legislative people, and it's really Allie's story, and I'm just there to help her tell it. What started all this is on Christmas Day of 2018, I'm affiliated with Boston Terrier Rescue of Florida, and we had a dog that we were notified about that was on Craigslist that was being sold by a vet tech to the highest bidder for $400. And I convinced her that I wanted Allie, but I was bringing her into our rescue. And she agreed to meet me that night, and we exchanged $400 for Allie. When I picked Allie up that night, Allie had severe scars on both of her front legs. She's got scarring on her face, on her head, and both of her ears have got severe scarring. And when I asked the vet tech what had happened, the answer was, we didn't know about her, we know about the other six. And when I looked at her and asked her for a clarification, I was told that they knew that the breeder that had Allie and six other dogs threw food on the center of the floor and made the seven dogs fight each other for their food. Mm. That included at the time a pregnant Allie who had five puppies. and she was delivered to the animal hospital because she was in labor and couldn't deliver, and she needed an emergency C-section. And instead of paying for the C-section, they surrendered Allie, but they did not surrender her puppies.
Some of these horrific stories, I mean, they just continue, and this, you know, there's no excuse for it. Yeah, there's zero excuse for this kind of treatment on these animals. And then on top of that, you know, just like if you're like the children and the elderly, okay, they're also voiceless and helpless and everything. So, you know, they have to report, you know, any kind of cruelty or neglect to the proper police. You know, neglect and abuse are crimes, and they should be treated like crimes, not just look the other way, because that means they can come in repeatedly and bring them in. Oh, you got hurt. You know, it could be thrown, their legs broken, you know, or anything. And this is, you know, I can't believe this is happening in Florida. You know, we have to get change and protection for these animals, not just look the other way and say, oh, this is no big deal. We'll just, you know, look away and next, you know, next. And it's not right. It's so terrible, Dave. I got to thinking about that. And, you know, it just gives an open door to all this abuse and neglect going on.
That's exactly what happened. And when I got Allie and found out that, you know, what had happened to her, I was also given her little bit of treatment notes that showed, you know, that she had her puppies by C-section and was spayed, and that she tested heartworm negative in April of 2018. And remember, I bought her from a vet tech who had her since the time of her surgery. And when I brought Allie to our vet, 2 days after that we gotten her, we found out that Allie was in fact heartworm positive because she hadn't been provided the preventative after she tested heartworm negative. So Allie came into a new environment, a new home, and had to undergo heartworm treatment almost immediately, which was a 4-month-long process. But during that time, I started researching the laws and found out that in the state of Florida, along with about 33 other states, reporting animal abuse is not something a veterinarian has to do. In the United States currently, there are 17 states that require a veterinarian to report suspected cases of abuse to law enforcement or animal control. There is actually one state in the country that it's a criminal act for a veterinarian to report abuse. So if a veterinarian reports abuse, they can actually be cited for a felony act of violating a law, and that's in the state of Kentucky. But we started playing around with some wordings on Allie's law, and I was at a University of Florida College of Veterinary Medicine function in January that year, and my wife and I are huge supporters for the school, both in taking our animals there and in supporting programs of the school. And at the function, I met Dr. Danette Wagner, who is going to be joining us on this call. And I was talking to one of the people at the function about Allie, because they had asked about how Allie was and what you know we could share. And Dr. Wagner heard my conversation and pulled me to the side and said, I could support Allie's law as a veterinarian, but veterinarians need immunity from civil liability. And I said, well, you already have that, so let's talk. And we spent the entire lunch between eating, talking about Allie's law and talking about Allie. And over the last 14 months, Dr. Wagner and I have spearheaded Allie's law inside the state of Florida.
See, and thank you for all you're doing, because you're not ignoring it. You're stepping up to the plate. You see a problem, you want to focus on it and get it fixed, because you're, you know, Allie's and the rest of the pets out there are voices, because they can't speak out. And it's sad, you know, we have to do it for them. That's why I got this radio platform today, because I know I'm not spinning my wheels having this, you know, encouraging people to take that action, getting the word out there, the awareness. because talking among each other or on social media, we could talk forever on this show or on social media and never take action, and there's never going to be changes. So we have to do what we need to do to make a positive lives and futures for our animal friends. They so well deserve get treated with dignity and respect and live in comfort and love and peace and care. It's not that difficult to do. You know, we have our pets at home. They're spoiled and, you know, we love them. And then there's the bad owners out there that neglect them and abuse them and torture them. And it's not right. They need to be punished, fined, go to jail, and then wake them up. You know, like an animal abuse register, that needs to be coming up. I know there's one going around. It's 277,000 signatures already, and it needs, you know, that needs to be nationwide, worldwide. You know, so whatever we can do to help out and getting these, you know, better laws and better protection and safety and everything, because they shouldn't be ignored. Their lives matter just as much as ours do, you know. So we have to do what we need to do and get that appropriate, you know, get that positive attitude. And I know you're relentless and you don't want to give up. And we're going to, or HB 621, what's the current status of that law right
so
now?
The current, the current status is, first of all, we're in week seven of Florida's nine-week legislative session. So legislative session ends on March 13th. So right now, if you've not had your committee hearings, you're not going to have a committee hearing. And in the Florida House, under House Bill 621, which Representative Dan Daley sponsored for us, we have not had our first committee hearing. In fact, Representative Fitzenhagen has repeatedly refused to hear our bill. And my understanding is her position is she doesn't want to be responsible for putting veterinarians in jail. And there's nothing in our bill that would put a veterinarian in jail. On the Senate side, our first Senate hearing was the full Alley's Law bill, and it passed the first committee with an unanimous vote, 5-0. When we got to the Judiciary Committee, the lobbyists for the Florida Veterinary Medical Association stepped up ahead of time to senior members of leadership and told them why they opposed Alley's Law and why veterinarians shouldn't have to report, and then used the scare tactic that if veterinarians had to report abuse, that animal owners would come back and the lives of veterinarians, their staff, and their veterinary clients would be on the hands of the legislature, because they would come back and there'd be mass murders inside of veterinary clinics. So that pretty much killed the bill for this year.
Mm.
I have talked to Representative Daley and I have talked with Senator Pizzo, and both have confirmed that they will give us bill slots for 2021. And we will bring back Alley's Law in the 2021 session that starts March of 2021.
Good. Don't give up. It's, you know, we're coming in stronger and stronger. That's what we have to do, you know, not give up.
Exactly.
Say, turn our head and that's good. You're, you know, keep it going. And I've been passing that petition around for Alley too on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook, and keep that resharing, because not everybody's on the social media at the same time of day. So it's always good to keep it going and alive. You know, don't let it die out.
So we have our petition on change.org, and that will still stay up and gathering signatures. The next month or so, we're going to work with Senator Pizzo and Representative Daley, and we're going to recraft the wording for Alley's Law so that we address the concerns that the Florida Veterinary Medical Association had and a couple of other groups. And we can get hopefully a workable bill at that point. But it gives us another, basically a whole nother year before we go back into session to go out and gather more and more support. Right now on Allie's page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/helpalleycat, and cat is with a K, She's got almost 15,000 followers on her page. So for a 17-pound Boston Terrier, she sure has won the hearts of a lot of people.
Yes, she does. You know, that is great. And everybody, if you can, go and visit the Facebook and even the website. I checked out both of them, Dave. They're great. You know, a lot of great information and how you can help out. The petitions on there. And, you know, whatever helps Allie, and not only Allie out there, all these animals out there, our four-legged and furry friends, you know, that's the main thing to do, is to take action is the key, and get it
exactly.
out there and hit these victories, because that means so much. Everybody, you know, just like the website or the Facebook page, go there,
yep.
see how you can help out, you know, any way you can, whatever you can do. Make those phone calls, sign the petitions, right, Dave? Everything matters.
Yep. On Allie's website, which is Allie's with an S, law.org, because the .com wasn't available. Our petition's on there. Allie's story is on there. There's information about myself and Dr. Wagner. The petition's got its own button. And when you first come in, there's a quick online survey that we're doing so that we can do some statistical gathering to confront the people that are opposing us with statistics that are irrefutable at that point.
But it is, it's, you got it, you know, looking good and everything. And everybody, like I got a, on the PPJ Gazette online, I got a link to the petition on there also. So if you want to visit there, you can share from the bottom of the PPJ Gazette article. And also on Blog Talk Radio promo, you can also share that from the left side of the screen to any social media out there. And Dave, I'm still I'm waiting for Dr. Wagner, but I got a caller calling in. If you want to take that while we're waiting for her.
Sure. Go ahead.
Area code 530. Go ahead, and you're live on the air. Hello there, Jennifer.
Debbie.
That it was you.
How's our warrior?
It's my animal sister warrior there.
Oh,
thanks for calling in.
Back
right
at
ahead.
You, back at you. Yes, yes. No, like I mentioned a little bit ago, definitely wonderful to hear the show. And I just want to send major, major kudos to you, Dave. It's a pleasure to make audible acquaintance with you, because it's just what you're doing with Allie's Law is an absolute no-brainer, truly a no-brainer. It is something that it's one of those where you're just, why is it not in every state? And you mentioned about Kentucky, and that has been an issue for so long. And luckily, you probably know of HB 108 that's trying to move its way along. It's kind of stuck, and it's usually where these bills usually get stuck in the Agricultural Committee is so often, and it needs to be, I believe it needs to be called to the floor, I believe. But yeah, just what you said, it's like not only is it their veterinarians not required, but to be criminally charged. And to my understanding, it like stemmed from people not wanting to have their personal information like available in case maybe somebody was, I don't know, it was just really weird when I was reading about it. Like if someone was looking for someone else, they could go and get records from the veterinarian and
mm-hmm.
and then they'd be liable. And so, I mean, and the reasoning that your opposition is bringing up, I'm really quite shocked that in a very advanced state as Florida would be bringing the Veterinary Association to bring up that as a possibility, because you're talking about getting stats, because to me that's huge. To me, the United States does not, especially animal advocates, do not look to other states often enough to see where things are working, you know, instead of reinventing the wheel. So I'm wondering, I imagine you and your team and Dr. Wagner have probably been looking and connecting with people in the other states where laws are, where, you know, where veterinarians do have to report suspected abuse. Are you getting any feedback in that regard to where that is applied and how that's working? I mean, mass shootings, like, really?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's funny because Dr. Wagner had brought it up to me when that, and I actually have that in writing, that's what they put in front of the legislature. But when she brought that up, she said, this is the exact same thing that the American Medical Association did 50 years ago when they started mandating reporting of domestic abuse and child abuse, right? It was the same scare tactic.
Wow.
And while I can say that I've known a lot of people who have been shot that have gone to hospitals, I've never heard of a hospital being shot up because they reported child abuse.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's like, what are their records proving that opposition? I mean, do they have very many cases of that even happening?
No. And the people that I've reached out to, and it's just people that I've reached out to, nobody in any of the 17 states has heard of a mass shooting inside of a veterinary clinic because the veterinarian reported abuse to an animal.
Isn't that just absurdity?
It really is.
I mean,
when you think about it, it's a weak argument. But understand, in the state of Florida, over the last 4 years, we have been the state with two of the biggest mass murders that have happened. One at a nightclub in Orlando and one at a high school in South Florida, where actually Representative Daley graduated from high school. So when you sit down with the leadership of the Florida House and the first thing comes out of your mouth is mass shooting,
oh dear,
you've gotten their attention because we've had two mass shootings in 4 years.
True, but just like you pointed out, has any of this been surrounding animals and animal cruelty?
No.
Exactly.
No.
So that it's an extremely weak argument.
And in a state of Illinois where there's one of the most strictest animal reporting laws, and I've talked to veterinarians that are in Illinois, nobody has ever heard of a reported incident. And I have to believe, and maybe I'm looking at it with rosy-colored glasses, but I'd have to believe if mass shootings were happening in these 17 states, that the American Veterinary Medical Association, who encourages reporting animal abuse, would have stepped up and said, wait a minute.
Right.
It's in 17 states. We're having mass shootings in 17 states. It's linked to reporting laws. We got to do something.
Right. And of course, I mean, because with Illinois, if they have a law to where it's mandated to report, I mean, look at Chicago. Look at all the major shootings and high level of murders that happen there. But again, any of that surrounding animals?
None of it surrounds the animals, and they also bring up the fact that people just won't go to a vet if they've abused their animal, and statistically that's wrong, and we see that even in human abuse, right? So if somebody is beating their spouse or their child, they may not take the person to a doctor, but that person may take them or their child to a doctor, and that's how abuse gets found out about.
Yes.
Same thing with animals. While the abuser may not take the animal to the doctor, the spouse or the child may actually take the animal to the doctor, and the doctor may find out that aside from the child, from the animal abuse that's going on, there's human abuse being involved, which is part of the National Link Coalition's
statement. Right. With Paul Arkow, very much so, very much so, and I can't wrap my brain around why more organizations are not highlighting. I mean, many are, but still many. I mean, because, like, for example, I'm direct a campaign. I mentioned earlier on helping to get dogs off of chains. across the country. We have a federal campaign that it's, you know, it will take, it's going to be years in the making, because I ultimately would love to see an amendment to the Animal Welfare Act of 1966 that's been updated so many different times over the years and different veins and, you know, has been added to the Animal Welfare Act. I would love to see something at the federal level on long-term tethering, canine tethering, where many dogs across the country live and die on the end of chains and tethers. And and to me, I mean, that's long-term torture and cruelty, and yet it's perfectly legal in the majority of our country based on freedom, yet they live as prisoners. And it's just, I can't wrap my brain around it. And so, but back to what I mentioned is, you know, if we can work at the areas and get the connection where areas are being successful, that I'm hoping more of the legislators in your state, I'm really surprised that it died. And was the Veterinary Medical Association there in Florida the only opposition?
So they were the biggest opposition. They got the AKC to join in on it.
Oh, good.
And the only other one that posed some questions about it was the Animal Control Association, because there was some wording in the bill that could be misinterpreted, and their concern was, if we're taking an animal into a shelter and we have abuse investigators, why are we mandated to report abuse? So there was some ambiguity in there, and I understand where their ambiguity came from. Our point in bringing the shelter side in is there are shelters, legitimate shelters, that do not have animal abuse investigators or animal control workers.
Right, right.
And those people should have to report animal abuse. So
yes,
there'll be some tweaks to the bill for 2021 that may exempt out things like, you know, a county-run shelter that's got animal welfare officers on staff, right? Because
mm-hmm.
they're going to report
mm-hmm.
internally anyways. But
yes,
there was a case last summer in Brevard County where an owner had taken an emaciated dog to a shelter, quote-unquote shelter,
mm-hmm.
to surrender the dog, and when they were told that the shelter was full, they asked to have the dog euthanized, and they said they don't do that.
Oh,
and they
yes,
sent
I
the
remember
person,
that.
They sent the person away, and the person promptly opened up the trunk of her BMW
yep.
and put the dog in the trunk with her children standing there watching all this, and drove
right?
off.
I know.
Now, had Allie's law been in effect at that point, that shelter would have been compelled to report that to the police department, and that dog wouldn't have been put back in the trunk of a car.
Right, right. So with Allie's law, so what you're saying is that not only vets would be mandated, but legitimate shelters as well. Is that what you're saying, rescue?
Correct, because if people
okay.
are dropping off their dog and the dog has obviously been abused,
right,
then somebody needs to step up for the animal and say, yeah,
yeah,
we'll take the dog in, right, or the
yeah.
cat or whatever it is, and then make their notifications to law enforcement like they should be doing.
Oh, man, I truly hope that Allie's law makes its way through. I truly hope you guys are successful this next year, because it's so truly badly, badly needed. Because really, think of how many animals could be spared from being returned to their tormentors.
Well,
if somebody,
so
in charge is saying something.
I look at Allie, and I've worked rescue for a number of years, and I've seen the abused animals come through. I've seen the broken bones that aren't just consistent of somebody stepped on the dog.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it was something about Allie.
Oh, she's a
sweetheart. And what Allie went through that put me into this phase. But when you look at Allie was pregnant with 5 puppies and had to fight 6 other dogs so that she could nourish her babies.
Just egregious.
And that, to me, is just really bad.
It's egregious.
And when she couldn't deliver her first, and this was her third litter, she hadn't turned 3 years old yet. At least that's what we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
And when she couldn't deliver that first baby, they allowed her to labor for 24 hours before they sought medical care. And a Boston Terrier laboring over 2 to 3 hours is critical, and it's a medical emergency. They allowed her to lay there for 24 hours and suffer.
That's horrific.
When what I was told is when they did the C-section, the owner breeder surrendered her because they didn't want to pay for the surgery. However, they didn't pay or they didn't surrender the puppies. So Allie was separated from her puppies when they were born.
Poor honey.
Oh,
this is
terrible.
Awful.
This
I mean,
disgusting.
A completely and utter callousness.
Had that vet made one phone call that would have taken no more than 2 minutes of his time.
Yeah.
Not only would Allie have been saved, Allie's five puppies would have been saved, and the six siblings that Allie lived with would have been saved. One phone call could have saved 13 lives.
Oh, see. Yeah, it's truly a no-brainer. I mean, Allie's law should be really applied truly in every state. I mean, it's a very direct way to help prevent cruelty. It really is.
It prevents cruelty to animals, and it goes as far as preventing cruelty to humans.
To humans.
Statistically, if you will abuse a dog or a cat or any animal, you're very apt to go into the hardcore human side of things.
Right. Because often the animals are the testers, you know.
Right. I often ask a question when I meet with my legislators, and it depends on the age of my legislators to how I pose this question. But I always pose a question of what does the Boston Strangler, Ted Bundy, and Jeffrey Dahmer all have in common? And I tell them it's a psychology test. Don't think about it. Tell me the first thing that comes to your mind, and I get they're all mass murderers. And that is true. They are all mass murderers.
But they were animal abusers.
They were all animal abusers before they went to mass murder.
Right. Yep.
Yep, there was a pattern there. You know, if they would have caught them before, it could have been totally different, you know, and punished them. But no, it turned out serial killers here, you know. And that's so true, Dave. If they, you know, attack a dog, cat, or whatever, and it could lead into, you know, elder abuse, child abuse, you know, spousal abuse, all of them.
Because imagine,
you know, it's crazy. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah. I was like, just, you know, imagine if there was a system that, you know, law enforcement, animal control, veterinarians, like, could all log into the same system with cross-reporting.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's both just what you're saying, Dave, is humans and animal connection. And if generally, you know, because if animal control is going out and they're seeing animal abuse, often there could be, you know, child abuse happening and vice versa. So it's like if they could all report to a similar system and cross-reference, how amazing that would be. And the veterinarians as well, all together, and be able to be in one place and see and share notes. That would be amazing.
So last year in August, I was contacted by a news producer in Tampa, St. Pete, for WTSP St. Pete Channel 10 News. And they asked me to come over, and I actually met Libby off of one of our Boston Terrier groups that we both are members of. And when she heard about Allie's Law, she wanted to have me come over and interview me about Allie's Law. And we went over to do an interview, and we got to meet a news reporter, Courtney Robinson, who's a very sweet lady. Both of them are, and I give them a lot of credit for what they've done. And Courtney's an investigative reporter, and she listened about Allie's story and spent the next 3 months doing some of that background research that you were talking about.
Oh, wonderful.
And in the Tampa Bay area, the 10 counties that encompass the Tampa Bay area. She correlated in 8 out of the 10 counties a direct link between animal abuse and domestic violence.
Wow.
And she ran just before Thanksgiving, ran a huge news story as an investigative report, and it's still online at WTSP.com/toxic, that talks about Allie and what they found in their investigative report.
Wow.
And she did correlate back to what you were just saying. There is a direct link between animal abuse and human abuse.
Yes.
That's amazing. I mean, did when you presented Allie's Law, did you have that data available, or you're saying that came afterwards?
No, she actually, and I give them a lot of credit, they actually spent 3 months doing research on Allie's Law, and they actually went to the 10 counties in Tampa Bay and pulled records out of the sheriff's department for sheriff's department calls. So they did a full-fledged investigative report.
That's incredible. When I did my interview,
they told me they had a couple of people they wanted to talk to, and that in the next week or two you'll be on the air, and we'll tell you when. And in the first part of October, I had emailed Libby and said that I'd maybe miss it, and she said, no, we're still working on it because it's getting really good, and we've got a lot of background on this. So I'm hoping Courtney gets some kind of an award for the investigative journalism that she did,
yes.
And Libby goes along with it.
Wow.
But it was very good data that we used. It also was shared with our representatives. I will say the Florida legislature really backed us this year in Allie's Law. Unfortunately, there was a couple of committee chairs that cowered into the lobbyist group.
Yeah. Well, definitely, like Debbie said, don't give up. Because we're going to be tackling, hopefully, the Florida State Legislature as well for 2021, also for the anti-tethering legislation. So maybe we can team up and share notes and, push for this together, because you can never have too many warriors collaborating for your missions, for your mission. So. Yeah, this is great. I really hope success for Allie's Law. This is very exciting. So thanks again
yes,
so much,
is.
Dave. I signed the petition and I've shared it. So we'll keep going with this. You guys are awesome. You're awesome.
Thanks, Jennifer, for calling in and audience out there. Jennifer's been on the show several times as a former guest. And out there, she is a warrior out there. Thank you, Jennifer, and keep up the great work you're doing. And
you
looking
too.
Forward to having you back on again, tethering and stuff. So
yes,
I'll be
because we're currently
you.
Trying to work with the state animal control here in California, who are being very resistant to supporting our proposal to update our standards here to push for attended tethering. They're being very resistant, and it's been very frustrating because you want to stay on their side. They're out for enforcing the law, but what do you do when they're saying, well, it's not really a problem. We don't have enough people so to help with this.
It's not
an important enough problem. So,
nope.
So
okay,
but it sounds like some other callers.
Yeah, you can stay on air. And, Dave, I'm going to bring area code 321 on. I'm looking for Dr. Wagner. I'm hoping she didn't get the lost audio. Go ahead, caller. Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 253. You're live and on the air. Go right ahead. Comments or questions for the guest?
Hi, this is Dr. Wagner. Hello,
hi,
can
Dr.
you hear me?
Wagner.
Hi.
I've been looking
Welcome.
For you. We'll put an APB out on you.
I'm sorry, I'm late to the party. I was busy this evening and picked up my phone and saw that I didn't realize what time it was. I apologize.
No problem. I was trying to contact you on Facebook. I didn't know if you got lost audio or what. But I was like, did she fall off the boat or what happened?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm glad you made
other,
it back
other
on.
Other things got in the way. So I'm sorry I'm late to the party, but I caught the last part of what Dave was saying in the last part of the conversation about moving forward and what information we've been able to share with the Florida legislature. What we're trying to do at this point is gather data from veterinarians in the state because most of my colleagues, I don't think, are aware of any of this.
Yeah.
So we're trying to gather data so that we can go back next year to the legislators and tell them what you were presented with from the lobbyists is simply not true. The veterinarians are not against this, and I know they're not, because when I talk to them one-on-one, they're not. They just aren't aware.
See, there's a huge disconnect. We're getting the same thing over here with our animal control state organization. There's a huge disconnect between the organization, CEOs, and who's running it, and the field workers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, they're not sharing data. The CEOs are going, that's not a problem, and the field workers are going, yes, there is.
They're not listening. What's happening is they're not listening. And part of it has to do with, I think a lot of it has to do with a mentality of kind of good old boy politics. It's not really broken. We don't have anything we have to fix.
Oh, please, yeah.
And the resistance to change and to understanding that, yeah, there is something broken. And the data that the investigative reporters put together backs what has been known in the psychiatric world for a long time. And anybody who works in domestic violence and domestic abuse knows that there is a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely, here in Florida, there are a couple of pieces of legislation that are having success this year. One has to do with including animals on the restraining orders when a court issues restraining orders to protect domestic abuse victims from further violence. Any animals that are involved in the household, and this probably is going to pass, will be part of those restraining orders to keep the abuser away, because they frequently use the animals to control the family members. So that looks like it's going to pass. Another a huge bill was including animals in the mandated reporting by child care workers who work for the Department of Child, DCF here in Florida, Department of Children and Families. So if they go into a home where there's been alleged child abuse, if they see that the animals, because they're trained to look for what constitutes abuse. And it's not that much different when you look at an animal as when you look at a child. You can tell.
Absolutely.
And so they're going to become, if this passes, they will become mandated reporters.
Oh, wonderful.
So then that simply leaves the professionals who would actually see the animals and have to treat the animals as the only non-mandated reporters in the state. That's crazy.
How backwards is that? I was just telling Dave it's a no-brainer. It's completely backwards.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
It's just like facepalm. Like, what?
And that is the response you get from every person on the street when you bring this subject up to them.
Amazing.
Is that this is a no-brainer, and why isn't it already a law, and do we really have to make this a law? This should just be happening.
Sadly,
the problem is, exactly. And for the most part, it does just happen. Most of my professional colleagues, thankfully, do already report. The problem is when there are, and there will always be, one or two bad apples who refuse to do it, the current law does not give the state any ability to sanction that person's license. I really don't want a physician dealing with children if they refuse to report abuse of children. They need to go do something else. I don't need a veterinarian taking care of an animal. If they've seen abuse, they do not need to be treating that any further animals that they refuse to report that abuse. They're not doing anybody any good, and they're violating their oath.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, because the veterinary oath, because working with the anti-tether issue, veterinarians take an oath. They even have an oath saying that they are to help in the advancement of improving legislation to protect animals.
That's right.
Then help.
it's so wrong on so many levels for the profession to be against these kinds of laws and ordinances.
Absolutely.
The cross-reporting, I caught a little bit about the cross-reporting that you were talking about. Part of the problem in Florida, and from what I gather in many jurisdictions, is that sharing of private information is a real thorny subject between jurisdictions. So within a county, they can have, for instance, in Orange County here in Florida, where I sit on the advisory board for Orange County Animal Services, we are pushing our county commissioners to create, to allow the county to create a database of people who are known abusers. They've been issued citations, or they have have been in the court system and have been adjudicated as animal abusers. We don't want them adopting, and we don't want them going.
Right.
We want everybody to know who they are so that they cannot adopt.
Yes.
We can do that within, and there are multiple counties within Florida that now do this. The problem is none of the databases talk to each other. So if there's an abuser in my next door county in Volusia County, I may not know about him. And that's the next hurdle we have to get past, is the privacy laws don't allow the law enforcement databases to talk to each other.
Yeah.
That has to get fixed, not just for animals, but the same for domestic violence across the board. You would have thought after 9/11 a lot of this got fixed, but it didn't.
Well, and the whole thing in 2016 when, you know, it's like categorizing, you know, animal cruelty in its own category. But I hear places going, well, this department can't afford that software to connect with neighbors. I mean, all kinds of reasons.
The excuses are ridiculous.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, what? So what was the point then if those excuses are valid, which I'm pretty sure they're not?
Yeah.
It's
no. It is very
crazy.
Frustrating.
Very,
yeah.
Very frustrating. And so, yeah, I wanted to congratulate you as well, Dr. Wagner, and you and Dave, and pushing this forward, because it truly is, I mean, hands down, it needs to be put in place. So I hope your opposition's not as fierce next legislative session, and you can gain the momentum.
Thank you very much. I just hope we can gather enough data to convince the legislators that the lobbyists really did a disservice to the state and to the consumers of the state and, you know, to animals for sure.
Well, absolutely. And I was mentioning to Dave earlier, he was talking about a lot of the data that was being gathered. To my understanding, hopefully I didn't misunderstand it, that most of the data was being gathered was there in Florida. Correct, Dave?
Correct. Well, it's on our website. It's, if somebody else came to us and said, you know, can you share your data? I'm sure Dr. Wagner and I would have no problem sharing what we're gathering. And the survey is literally really five or six questions. And the first question is, are you aware that in the state of Florida, a veterinarian does not have to report abuse? And if you say, no, I'm not aware, you're saying, I thought that they did. And when, and all the events that I do that are dog-related events, And Dr. Wagner's been with me on some, 98% of the people sit there and look at you and go, what do you mean they don't report?
Yeah,
my doctor has to report. My child's school teacher has to report.
Exactly.
When I did the research on Alley's Law and veterinary reporting, I looked at the human side. And I looked at the human side because I'm familiar with it. My wife is a nurse.
Okay.
And
in
the state of Florida, and this was something I didn't know, a bank teller is a mandated reporter for elder abuse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but that makes sense, though.
That makes sense
because people take advantage of them and they steal from seniors.
But you make a bank teller be a mandated reporter for elder abuse, but a trained doctor of veterinary medicine doesn't have to report animal abuse. And again, I go back to what I said.
Whoa.
If you have animal abuse, you're going to get the spousal abuse, the child abuse, the elder abuse.
Exactly, it comes.
In the state of Florida, Dr. Wagner has to report human abuse, but she doesn't have to report animal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They can sanction my license if I don't report a person who has been abused, and that person ends up in within the legal system, and it comes back that through the investigation that I was aware, but I never told anybody, my veterinary license can be sanctioned.
Wow. Mm. Well, and again, that's logical.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, otherwise too many things get swept under the rug, and it's just easier, you know, for if there's no law, for people to look the other way. I mean, that's why so often I like to to quote the Martin Luther King's quote of morality cannot be legislated, but behavior can be regulated. Judicial decrees may not change the heart, but they can restrain the heartless. And I use that so often because people go, well, why pass a law? The ones we already have are not being, aren't being enforced. You can't make someone love their pet. You can't make someone love their child or their family member. But laws are put in place to give you some kind of ammunition to fight for their protection. It makes sense.
Well, and Dr. Wagner tells a really great story, and she's actually shared it with legislators very early in her career about an animal abuse case that was actually more than just animal abuse.
I witnessed the entire toxic triad. At the time, I didn't know what it was called, but I knew that what was going on was wrong. I didn't know that I didn't have to report it, and this was in Florida. So I see a mother, a son about 8 or 9 years old, and a cat. They bring the cat in because he can't eat. He hasn't been able to eat for quite a while. It was obvious he was losing weight. And on examination, his jaw was dislocated and locked out of place. It was now calcified. That's an old injury. And trying to ferret out the history, the son pops up with, well, my dad kicks the cat, and my eyes got wide. I took the cat. I went into protection mode for the animal.
Yeah.
And the way it played out was the dad eventually actually came into the office, and he became belligerent inside the veterinary clinic with our reception staff, with the technicians. Mm-hmm. To the point where we had to call the police to get him off the property. And he was arguing with the police in the parking lot.
Ugh.
Now, this is in the 90s.
Wow.
We ended up keeping the animal. They relinquished ownership of the animal. He got surgery. We got him taken care of. But, you know, in thinking back on the whole thing, you know he was abusing the mother and son.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing, happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It just gave him a green flag to keep doing it. That's what it did, you know.
Exactly.
Keep on having them temper tantrums and getting by with it and hurting animals and children. You know, it's terrible.
I've been in the courtroom. Mm. I've been in the courtroom of animal abuse cases where, the animal is most definitely a pawn for that abuser to manipulate their human victim. I've seen it in court, and it's crazy.
I have a good friend who is an advocate on the national scene to help raise awareness about domestic violence and domestic abuse, because as a child, it was in her family. And the horror stories she tells are just awful. Mm-hmm. And yes, the animals are always used as a pawn.
Yes.
They're frequently hurt. Many are killed.
Yeah.
That's
well, because they threaten.
That is
He's
sickening.
Like, if you don't do this, I'll kill your
and
dog.
And they do.
Or kill your cat.
And they do.
Ugh, just.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I got a couple minutes here. I want to really thank you, Dave Hine, creator of Allie's Law and Allie's Dad, for coming on the show tonight. And Dr. Wagner.
Thanks, Debbie.
Veterinarian, the co-founder of Allie's Law, for coming on this show tonight. What an honor and a pleasure. Keep up the great work you're doing,
you
and we are standing with you, okay? 2021, let's go and hit a victory. It takes teamwork to see any victories, everybody, so please do your part. And Jennifer, thank you for calling in this evening. You're always a great animal warrior sister out there.
I'm honored.
Hard and relentless. So keep up what you're doing, and I'll connect you and Dave together on Facebook, okay? Because I know
Brandy
and Dr. Wagner are very relentless and keep
You're
up
awesome.
The great work. You know, the animals especially thank all of us when they see their lives, you know, changing for the better in their futures. They can't thank us, but they know. But everyone, next Thursday, I wanted to welcome Holly Gann. She's the Director of Federal Affairs for the Animal Wellness Action. She'll be joining us next Thursday on the Pet Facts bill at Congress to help combat puppy mills. So everyone, if you please join in, 7 o'clock Eastern time.
Thanks, Debbie. It's a pleasure meeting both of you, Dave and Dr. Wecker. Thank you so much.
Same here, Jennifer.
Yes,
thank you.
And a shout out to all the supporters out there of this show. Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty, neglect across the land, everyone. United we stand up for the animals, not united we fall. Good night, everyone, and help us with Allie's Law, everyone.
Yes,
let's
go
not
Allie.
Give up. Allie, go Allie. We
go
love
Allie.
You, Allie.
Team Allie.
Team Allie.
Team Allie.
Okay, and I'm looking forward to having you both back on, okay, soon.
Yep.
Sounds good. Have
welcome
a great night.
You're welcome back. Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.